Recorded live from their studio in Los Angeles, California, it's Brett and Alex in the Super Beard Show. This week, the news, the last three video games we played, not our top five liquor store pickup, and, as always, Patreon presents Fan Q&A. The date is April 1st, 2022. Support this podcast at patreon.com/superbeardbros. My name is Ted Coonrod. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first ever episode of Super Beard Show. It's the podcast version of the Super Beard Bros YouTube show. I'm Alex. Brett is also here.
Hello.
And this is it. We're going to go into it. This is the very first one. How's everybody doing?
Am I everybody? I'm okay. We're recording this the day after the Super Bowl. And yeah. I had a bunch of snacks that I don't normally have, especially in a pandemic. So my stomach was inundated with a bunch of food that it hasn't had in a long time. And it took its revenge on me yesterday with copious amounts of indigestion and like burpees. But today that's gone. So today how I feel is like super relieved. The answer you're looking for, Alex, is relieved. Almost like the end of a Maalox commercial.
I like that. The reason I said you guys is because Ted is also here, just like always. Say hi, Ted.
Oh, surprise, I'm here. Hello.
He's the engine. This is like full circle for Ted, because Ted's like life, not his just his life, but his legacy that he carries on the Beard Bro Show is the one of engineer. And I feel like the idea of the engineer getting involved in the show recording is like, we absorbed that from podcasts, and now we've gone back around, and now Ted is just the engineer on an actual podcast.
It's an honor. Thank you for having
Love
me.
Love that. Anyway, this episode is called Bitter Regards. thanks to the Patreon. So welcome to it. We are here. We have a YouTube show.
Asking not only for the listener, but also for myself. Yeah. It's called Bitter Regards.
Yeah.
Does that mean anything?
Like, absolutely not. No.
So it's not going to have any bearing on the episode whatsoever. It's literally a random title.
Yeah.
Do we know who gave that to us?
Bitter Regards is from the Patreon people. This is like a dry run, full disclosure. So everybody who gave us like titles, it's all just people on the Discord this time.
So was that like voted on by a bunch of people, or was that one particular user?
No, yeah, I got a bunch of them, and then I harvested them at my discretion.
Oh, I was just wondering, like, from now on, we should find out, like, who, like...
Oh, I got credits for everything else. I got credits for everything else, but Bitter Regards, I like the idea that it's just a random...
So we won't know. You'll never know who gave it to us, but know that it came from our Patreon, is what you're saying.
Well, I can tell you. It's from Konami Martin.
Oh, thanks, Konami Martin.
Yeah. She actually said... Bitter Regards, Season 1, Episode 6, A Taste of Jimmy's Taste.
Say that all again one more time, please.
Bitter Regards, Season 1, Episode 6, A Taste of Jimmy's Taste.
Which, in actuality, is Episode 1 of
episode
the Super Beard Show.
Of the Super Beard Show of all time.
Right.
We're here. Let's get into the news.
Thanks, Konami Martin.
This is a segment that I like to call The News. At the beginning of the show, where we just talk about something that's been on our mind since the last episode.
When we say the news, it's not so much like what's going on that's significant in the world, and not even so much like what's the good news, but more like the news of like, hey, I got this thing to tell you.
Like, yeah, like what news?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you rode a long way and I wanted to know why you did that.
Like what's new with you?
Yeah, what news?
Like you're two strangers in a pub or something.
That would be fucking weird, Ted. Like if there was a guy I didn't know, what's the news, man? I'd be like,
hey, man, it's been a while.
What is one piece of news, stranger?
I'd like to know what's a new thing about you that's going on. What's different from
which
usual?
Means that you can say anything because I don't know you. It's all new to me.
Okay. So I brought something that is like on my mind that's kind of causing me like a first world existential crisis.
Is this something that's going to make your privilege apparent? Is that why you said first world?
No, it's not that. It's not that. It's just that in the grand scheme of things, you know, who cares about where movies are headed?
Uh-oh, here we go.
You know, but it was really weird. Do you watch the Star Wars television shows? I'm guessing no, right?
No, the answer is no.
Yeah, so maybe you heard about this. I don't know if you've seen any of the recent movies, but they keep trying to sort of recapture the magic and have like characters that have been dead for a long time or are way older than they are like appear in the show. Are you aware of this?
Reusing characters from long ago?
Spoilers, I guess, for The Mandalorian and stuff, but in season two, this is over a year old, so if you got spoiled on this, too bad. In the very end, Baby Yoda is like on the journey, and he ends up handing Baby Yoda off to Luke Skywalker, and it like broke the internet because he barely moved, and he was like clearly deep faked, and it looked really weird, and he said like a few lines that were like digitally youngened, by Mark Hamill, and then. So that was like the big deal. And then they did it again I think it was actually before they did it in Star Wars 9. They like Carrie Fisher had been dead for years before they put out that movie. And so they wrote her into the movie, but all her dialogue is like cutting room floor, like asides from the first movie, Force Awakens.
Yeah. Digitally de-aging an actor is nothing new, but using an actor that has passed on is a somewhat more recent phenomenon.
Yeah. It's super weird that they like didn't shoot anything of her and tried to like use her as an asset almost like to tell the story, even though it was like not even recorded for that purpose. It's really weird.
Yeah.
But then in Book of Boba Fett, we saw Luke Skywalker again. And this time it was like, you know, I know that there was like a bunch of people online who like did a better deep fake than Disney did of Luke. And they hired those people. Right. That was like a big thing like months ago. And then now this episode comes out and it's fucking horrific. It's like, it looks really good, but they have to show it at like weird angles that don't feel natural. So that like, it's like breaking all rules of like filmmaking. Like you would never show a scene with a tone or like editing or like camera angles that this scene had, unless you were trying to hide the fact that it was like a digitally recreated person.
Okay.
And this time they didn't even use Mark Hamill's voice. They used a computer program that simulates his voice based on like lots of input.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody was talking really slowly to like match the weird slow pace that Luke is talking.
Okay.
And everybody loved it.
What do you mean by everybody loved it?
Like the general consensus online of Star Wars fans, obviously some people were revolted by it, but like the general sense, you know, was that this was a great episode, that we got some really neat stuff that's like, you know, people really liked just seeing Baby Yoda and seeing Luke Skywalker. And it just weirds me out because it feels like we're getting away from like portraying a story and just sort of like up doing more like a puppet show for people now. You know what I mean? It's weird. It's just really
weird. What is that? You say those two things like they're mutually exclusive.
It just feels so much like it's just a spectacle that it exists in the first place. That, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like it, all logic would dictate that you would recast this character if you wanted to have him in here in any meaningful
way. Not in a post CGI world.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but it's not like, it's a replacement. I wish I could like show you the scene, but like, it's so weird how like not about giving information out it is. If you know what I mean? Like it's not about moving the story forward. It's just like weird, like tech demo footage of Luke, like showing Baby Yoda how to do things and kind of like saying like platitudes of the Force and like making him like, you know, it just feels like they're being like, see, look, it's Luke. It felt like a pill to like make people feel better after being mad at Star Wars. It felt like.
So it sounds like you're what doesn't sit right with you is the studio's obvious attempts to patronize and emotionally manipulate their fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. So I felt that way. I just feel that way about Hollywood in general.
yeah, but this is like, there's zero pretense at all. Like, this is like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, we were talking about earlier when we saw the Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer and like feeling emotional because I, you know, we have nostalgia about seeing, hearing that Ghostbuster car and all that stuff. But it, at least, you know, the movie Ghostbusters Afterlife is a narrative with a story that's trying to do something and the characters all talk to each other and stuff. But in the case of this, it's like, we can't have Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker in any way that a human would normally, like in the last one, he couldn't even walk or like look around really because of how hard it was to deepfake him. And here it's just like, it feels like a music video about, it's like a commercial for Luke in the middle of my show.
Weird. I mean, yeah, it's very clear to me right now that you are, what's what I'm looking for? The magic did not work on you, and their attempt to veil their obvious nostalgia baiting did not work.
It made me feel like a sex doll, like looking at a sex doll. Like it felt like more than like this is the state of entertainment. It made me feel like a weird, like existential transhumanist, like cyberpunk fear pang.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that different people feel that feeling for different reasons. I think that when people realize that, you know, I think this, it can be a little bit chilling when you suddenly realize like, oh man, I am considered a commodity by this thing. I am considered food by this thing. I think that can be a bit chilling when you realize that.
Yeah. And I mean, I realized like that's the entire nature of the movie industry, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
But I think we're getting to a point now where the baseline is like so low that like it doesn't even need to resemble like artistically legitimate narrative storytelling anymore. Like,
I think the last thing you said is extremely hard to define.
It's just for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's reaching a point. I think it's reaching the point where you yourself are becoming disturbed, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
It reminds me of Wonder Woman wishing her dead boyfriend into a stranger.
Explain.
Did you see the most recent Wonder Woman, Brett?
No.
So, she just makes a wish that her boyfriend is back and his soul like takes over a normal human being, like a random stranger.
Uh-huh. Thus negating the soul of whoever that person was.
Yeah.
Okay. How does that link to what Alex is talking about? What are we talking about?
In my head, it's like we're getting what we want, regardless of the repercussions.
He was really saying the philosophical moral implications of erasing someone to have your boyfriend back is like reaching for a CGI facsimile of young Luke Skywalker.
So like doing things, so like making things happen despite the, like, you know, even though we're not necessarily aware of like what the repercussions will be. Is that what you're talking about, Ted?
Exactly.
I see.
It felt like an edible. It felt like eating an edible.
Video
edible. It was wild. What do you got?
What do I got? Well,
yeah,
I got chimps. You like chimps?
I love chimps. I love a chimp.
That's good because chimps love you, man. No, but real talk. I saw this. This was a while ago, honestly. This was a while ago, and I still think it's very interesting that I stumbled across this. If I'm remembering correctly, I think I saw this on an episode of. Man, I wish I could remember his last name now. I'm super embarrassed, but you know Michael from Vsauce. Hey, Vsauce, Michael here.
Yeah.
The guy who pops up, and every time he pops up, you're going to learn something interesting, right?
I did indeed learn
something interesting. This was on one of his Minefield episodes, I think. And I don't remember what the subject of the episode was, but I do know that it had to do with memory, right?
Okay.
Because Michael visited, I believe it was a facility in Japan, right?
Yeah.
And this facility in Japan housed a bunch of fucking chimpanzees, man. And okay. These chimpanzees were the chimpanzees. I love that. These chimpanzees, they were there to study memory, right? So the way they would do this, like one of the experiments was like a game. Think of it like a very simple video game, right? So I want you both, you and Ted, I want you both to like picture that you're sitting in front of a screen. Actually, you probably both are doing that right now.
I am dead ass. Yeah.
Yeah. Very easy to picture. And picture on this screen is off, but it's going to turn on at any second, right? And okay. when the screen turns on, you're going to see like a bunch of numbers come up. Okay. Let's say 1 through 10, but they'll be like all like, they'll almost be, scattered about the screen in random spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's say the screen turns on and there's 1 through 10. There they are. And they're in random spots. And then you can take your time to memorize where those numbers are.
Like because where in a they moment, are and what numbers they are.
Sorry?
Like the location and what number, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because there's, you know, 1 through 10, there are no repeating numbers. But soon those, you know, what do we want to call them? Soon those numbers will be covered up by like little black boxes. So the screen won't go dark, but like you'll know where the numbers are. But like soon they'll be covered up. So you'd be like, oh, what number was this? Like a memory game. You feel what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. 100%.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the memory game, that's how it works. It sounds pretty easy, right?
These chimps were, did they get paid for this?
In bananas, probably. That was probably a very insensitive thing to say about chimps. I apologize. Please don't cancel me, Chimpanzee Coalition. But so far it sounds pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
And it was pretty easy. But then this is where things get interesting. They start cutting down the time that you have to memorize it before the black boxes show up to obscure the numbers, right?
Oh, so there's like pressure now.
Yeah, there's time.
Yeah.
So it becomes like a little memory game. And as you can imagine, it gets pretty tough. But this is the reason I brought it up. This is why it's fucking interesting. Humans are pretty good at this game. They're okay. But like once you get to the point where there's literally like a second of shit on screen, humans get real shitty. They get very shitty at this, right? And it happens to do with things like the more numbers there are, the worse they are. And there's like this weird threshold, right? If there's two numbers on screen, you can do this no problem. If there's three numbers on screen, you can probably still do this no problem. Four, maybe. And five, you're fucking done probably, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Here's the thing.
I feel like I could do more than that. Is that weird?
I wish you would try it. Like, are you kidding? Yeah. Like, literally, like open, close. Like, you're not going to be able to, like, your mind will be able to process where all that shit is, you know?
That's true.
But here's the weird thing. Chimpanzees can knock this out up to, like, 10 numbers.
What?
Like, that shit is fast. They can be like open, close, and they will like, it's like a little touch screen for them. And then they'll go boop, 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 boop. And like do it from 1 to 10 with the right numbers and everything.
That is so interesting.
Isn't it? So,
yeah, I mean,
here's the really interesting part. We think it has to do with, or they do. The scientists believe that it has to do with language. Specifically, obviously human beings are the only mammals on this planet that like use full on language. And there's a reason for that. That's just not random. And it doesn't just have to do with evolution. It has to do with the fact that our brains have evolved in a certain way to facilitate language. And what their hypothesis as of now is that because monkeys, or fuck me, they're gonna get me, guys. I'm fucking done. I'm gonna get canceled.
Monkey lawyers, dude. Somebody's gonna come forward.
I'm gonna get canceled because these apes, because these primates, because these chimpanzees did not evolve that way.
Cretans.
Sorry.
These cretans.
Because these lower life forms evolved that way. They they hypothesize that another part of their brain is a little bit more developed, specifically this part that allows them to visually see something and create a much more solid picture of it in their head.
That's so wild. Maybe this is me just revealing my ignorance also, but I'm imagining that like my brain is asking itself, like, I wonder why we lost that, as if like the like the chimp is like directly behind us on the train of evolution or something.
No, I think that's a super valid question, man. I do. I just think that I think it literally I think I remember the episode tackling that very same question. I think it's a very salient question. And if I remember correctly, I think it had something to do with I literally think it has to do with language.
Episode of what?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, episode of what?
Minefield, right?
Oh, right. Vsauce, yeah.
I think it has to do with the fact that in language, we are able to communicate more complex ideas, especially when it concerns the past and the future, right? Like, this will happen and versus this will or this has happened. But with monkeys, it's much more about, like, right now. And I think that that's, fuck me, I said monkeys again, with these chimps.
They're not like in their head, quote unquote, like improvisers. They're just like,
I think it's less about being neurotic and more about their, I think it's less about these chimps being neurotic and more about these chimps having in their world, they don't have to worry about yesterday as much or the future as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like maybe we wouldn't be able to read if we could still do this.
That's kind of what they're hypothesizing. Like if we didn't evolve, like if we didn't have to need language, our memory and probably a lot of other things would probably be a lot better.
Yeah, it's so weird to think about that just because my whole life is so centered around like actual words, writing.
Yeah,
it's really hard to like conceptualize being intelligent without language. It's like a really hard thing for me to like embody in my brain, in my imagination.
Like, yeah, like I can imagine. So it's almost like describing to a blind person what purple is. It's hard not thinking in terms of language or thinking about what it would be like to not have it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's totally it. What? That's my bit of quote unquote news because I find it fascinating. And specifically the thing that you got to at the end there, trying to put ourselves in these beautiful primate creatures' shoes is fascinating to me. The concept of what would it be like to not have language, but instead be able to have these crystal clear pictures of like what our immediate surroundings are, to be able to take these like eidetic memory vibes. Snapshots of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's so cool.
Anyway, there you go.
Yeah. That's, that'd be really easy to play video games, certain video games. If you had that ability,
it's very true. Then again, you would never be able to request it from the store.
Right. Speaking of video games, our next segment today is a segment that I like to call The Last Three. This is a segment where we each, in a specific category, we list out the last three things we, you know, experience in that category, and then we talk about them. So first things first, we get them all out on the table so that we see all six things, then we talk about them. So for today's installment of the last three, I think the vibe should be video games. So it's all about the last three video games you played for fun. So for me, weirdly, right now, those games are Pokemon Shining Pearl, Pokemon Legends Arceus, and Pokemon Sword and Shield VGC.
Are you serious?
What about you? Dude, yes.
Jesus Christ, man. I'm just surprised. I'm surprised because I couldn't imagine myself playing multiple Pokemon games at once, you know?
Dude, it's honestly, I think they're onto something. I have like a fucking...
I think they're onto something releasing... multiple Pokemon games. I don't know if they've ever done that, but
you know. No, I think they're really starting to figure something out that they've been struggling with for a while. But before I get into that, what are your three games?
Let's see. I think the last three games I've played are Magic the Gathering, specifically Arena, you know, the digital one.
Yeah, yeah.
And Magic the Gathering. Oh, Shovel Knight.
Oh, yeah.
And Sifu.
Oh, yeah. You haven't played, you hadn't played any of the DLC in Shovel Knight, right?
Yeah, I'm something specifically like referring to the one of the other campaigns, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dope.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, really different. I mean, I guess I'm playing all Pokemon games, but that's kind of the thing is, like, I think they're starting to realize, like, a divide of the Pokemon fan base into two, like, very, very clear camps.
Oh, okay. Go on.
Yeah, and I think there's people who like the game Pokemon, like the actual game that's been coming out for all these years.
Okay.
And I think they're not mutually exclusive categories, of course. I think I'm kind of half in each of these categories, but I think there's people who like the games, and I think there's people who like the idea, the promise of Pokemon as a concept.
The promise? Okay.
Like, just the idea of, like, when you're a kid and you're, like, imagining yourself in the world or whatever, that concept versus, like, you know, fantasy dressing to the mechanics of a game and, like, you know, what the actual design of that game is. And I think now what they're trying to do is really separate out these things. I think Legends Arceus is, like, completely meant to be a step towards people who don't really want to play a deep RPG that has PvP elements. And I think, you know, I'm playing Series 12 in the VGC, and it's really weird to be playing, like, such a tiny part of a huge sprawling game all the time and, like, basically abandoning the rest of it, you know? So I think they're
Series 12 VGC, which actual game is that?
That's in Sword and Shield still.
Okay. Gotcha. Understood.
So they did not actually move Pokemon Shining Pearl, that's not where VGC is right now, even though normally it is. So I think what they're seeing is that there's a game here for people who like the old video games and don't care about the current scene. There's a video game here for people who want to, like, you know, play a game by themselves without the pressure of, like, beating people. And then I think the next Pokemon main series battle game is going to be almost like a free-to-play thing or something. Like, I think they're going to try and go for an esport, and just playing all three of them, it's really clear to me how they're thinking about it now. And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, I think the Pokemon franchise is probably as strong as ever, you know, popular, you know what I mean? So it stands to reason why they would diversify their shit as much as they have in the past, and it sounds like what you're purporting is further into the future even more. It makes sense to me, you know.
Pokemon is, like, proving to me that it's big enough to actually have multiple giant games out at once that are, like, all tent poles in the way that, like, Mario does, like, Mario and Mario Kart and Mario Tennis. Like, it's crazy to think about Pokemon in that way, but it's true. Like, the spin-off games are, like, now as big as the real games. How the hell is Sifu?
Well, I've only really played, like, about an hour and a half of it, but I enjoyed so far. I mean, you know, I love the aesthetics of straight up, you know, playable kung fu movie. That's pretty cool. And I love, you know, deep combat mechanics. And, you know, there's no telling how deep it is, because, like I said, it's only an hour and a half.
Listening to people talk about it, it seems extremely involved.
Oh, yeah?
It seems like there's a lot of depth to it, like, beyond just, like, a combat system. Like, I think it's, like, very customizable or something. I don't really know. All I've seen are, like, a few videos.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that game... I mean, I don't know what the heck is going on with it, but it seems like it's their, like, dream game after Absolver, right? Like, just continuing along that sort of, like, mindset. Seems really cool. Looks really good.
Yeah, I have fun with it so far.
What was the Shovel Knight campaign that you didn't play?
That I didn't play?
Or that you finally played or whatever?
Oh, I've played all the Shovel Knight campaigns before. I just went through them again, you know?
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I for some reason, I had it in my head that you had played the shit out of Shovel Knight. and then you were like, finally going to go play all those DLCs?
No, not even. I've played them all before, and I decided to play them again for funsies, you know.
I think my favorite one was the Spectre Knight one.
Yeah, I like that one too. Yeah, a lot of fun. Just what do you like about it?
I like the way he moves around the stages.
Agreed.
I like I, you know, we played that game the other day that you the one with the masks.
Kaze.
Kaze, the masks. Yeah. I like that sort of speed that you can move through a level, like sort of like Sonic style, kind of like fast, like you kind of get a flow going and you just kind of keep moving through the level.
Sure.
And I think Spectre Knight kind of has that vibe the most of all of them.
Yeah, he's definitely the most aggressive. And yeah, he there's definitely like the because of his particular movement with like the diving and shit. I definitely think that there's a the levels are catered to that. And as a result, I don't know if it's that's what I was saying. I was wondering, like, for his campaign specifically, I was like, I wonder if they designed his movement first, or if they were like, if they wanted to do a more aggressive style first and then designed his movement around it. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's very like they definitely they complement each other very well. The environment that like the level design for him and his movement style, which is super aggressive and sometimes pretty fast too. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. King Knight almost doesn't even feel like related to the other ones. It feels so feels almost like Sonic and Knuckles or something to me. Like it almost felt like the full sequel when Shield Knight came out, maybe just because it came with so much other shit too. Did you get into the card
game? Yeah. King Knight has a lot of content in it. It's true.
Did you play the card game at all?
Yeah, like a little bit. Mm-hmm. I like
PvP.
It. I'm digging
whatever.
It.
I never touched it. I played the campaign only.
Oh, you never did the card stuff?
No, not the extra stuff. Just the like little things in the game. But yeah. What was the first game you said?
Magic the Gathering.
Oh yeah, Magic.
Yep.
Are you? I mean, I as somebody like I play Pokemon, right? Like probably in the same mindset, like fills the same role in my gaming as probably Magic is in yours, where it's like every once in a while you sit down and play a match here and there, right?
Right, right.
Kind of that kind of vibe.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Does what like okay like in Pokemon Series 12 they like really mix it up. They were like, all right, now you can have two restricted Pokemon. Now you can have, you know, two restricted Pokemon and a Dynamax, and it completely like changes everything. Does what is it that like keeps it spicy in Magic these days?
Well, not only does Magic the Gathering have multiple formats and types of ways to play.
Yeah.
On top of that, you know, there are always new cards incoming. Always. And so depending on the format that you play, that can have either a bigger or a smaller impact on you. So for example, like the oldest format right now is known as Legacy, which basically is like any card we've ever printed that's like a, you know, regular card, not like this weird like bonus card you got because it was a joke and we printed it once. Any right. like the regular card, it's up for grabs. You can has this, you can use it, right?
Yeah.
But then there's Modern, which is like, okay, listen, anything past this thing that we released in like, I don't know the exact year, but like 2004, you can use anything from there. And kinda then there's like, other little formats here and there, but like, I'd say that the most frequently refreshed format is known as Standard, which is full of rotations, right? So like, let's say your That's average like standard environment, sorry.
That's like what the championship is and stuff or whatever.
No, there's all kinds of championships. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Like there's a championship for Modern and for Legacy. You know what I mean? That's the point. Like,
oh, wow.
No matter how you like to play, there's something going down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The reason I ask is just because I feel like other than just the theming of it, Pokemon like basically is one of these types of games, like a Magic or a Hearthstone or a Gwent.
How so?
Pretty much. Just like It's basically like a deck card game. It's just sort of like you're not really using cards. It just has the same sort of like
you build an mentality. Assortment of things that you know to your customization, and you do your thing.
Yeah, I feel like the minds that like Magic will easily wrap their minds around Pokemon, but I believe that Pokemon should be like the most popular esport in the world, just based on how popular of a thing it is, and how like wish fulfilling it would be to be a real life Pokemon trainer. But I always wonder like what it is that exactly that's keeping it from
teams.
Getting there.
So the answer is teams. So like number one, in my opinion.
Teams?
Yeah. Teams. T-E-A-M-S.
Oh, teams.
Yeah. Like.
Like what do you mean?
I think that the biggest esports in the world are and will continue to be video games that facilitate cooperative gameplay, both cooperative and competitive gameplay. And I know that you can like do, you know, cooperative stuff in competitive Pokemon, but it's certainly like not the standard and it's not supported nearly as much as other stuff. And I think until it is like, yeah, Pokemon is not going to be anywhere near like the most popular esport. I think it's always going to be things like StarCraft and your League of Legends and shit like that, because people love to play with their teammates for myriad reasons.
Pokemon needs to throw some money on it and make it more fun to be a fan and stuff. It just seems like such a missed opportunity. It seems like it makes me sad to think about sometimes, just because of how fun it is and how much people love Pokemon all the time. I feel like an old grumpy man when I see them moving away from like hardcore play, you know, in the way that like most people's attention, like I feel like Legends Arceus is like for most people, the most exciting thing that's happened in a really long time. I feel like how most people feel about Legends Arceus is how I felt about Pokemon Sword and Shield, I think. Uh-huh. So I'm kind of interested in the future of competitive Pokemon in that way. That is the last three. That's not bad.
Nice.
You
good
last
three.
Anything. That's a good little good thing. Stuff. Yeah. Next, we go into a segment which I want to call Not Our Top Five. This is where I went to our patrons. I asked them to make a top five of things, and then we're going to judge them without any sort of, without prejudice. With prejudice? What's the bad one? With prejudice?
You don't want prejudice.
That's a shoe-in. That's a fair thing.
So you gave them a category and asked the people on the Patreon to list their top five things in this category.
Yeah.
And you chose random, one person?
I picked three of them at random.
Okay, hold on one second. I have to cough.
Okay.
Then I just did it. I muted my microphone so you guys didn't have to hear it. But know that it happened and it was not in result to the information Alex just gave me. It was not because of that.
That's how you know this show is real, that we're not AIs. You know what I mean, man?
Real people.
They're going to start doing that. They're going to be like, with hosts that barf and fart so that you can tell they're human. That's like a commercial from like 2027.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
So once again, you took three people's lists?
Yeah, I randomly, of all the ones that I was sent, I randomly chose three of them.
Got it. Okay.
This week's topic is liquor store pickups.
Okay.
Yeah. So up first, we have one from Super Nerd who says, haven't been to a liquor store in a while, but I remember loving the shitty roller hot dogs, corn nuts, especially ranch flavored.
Are these like ranked or something?
The other ones are in order, but this one is just like more of a conversational. Okay,
so just because I'm not looking at this list, so do me a favor, hit me with some numbers, please. And so these are like not in any particular order. Let's do it.
Shitty roller hot dogs.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah. All right. Just
ranch corn nuts.
I'm sorry, man. I'm still processing the hot dogs.
I know. I know. I've actually been warned away from one of those from a guy at 7-Eleven before.
What? Did he tell you why?
It was like the middle of the night. I went in there almost every day at the time. It was when regular Pokemon Pearl was out, and I was like playing it till 6 in the morning every night, and I'd roll in there at like 3 a.m. to grab my, Rockstar Guava or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be like, give me that hot dog. And he was like, no. And I was like, what? And he was like, don't eat it. You'll get sick.
What?
And I was like, why? And he's like, it's been there 2 days. And I was like, okay, all right, well. Right.
I don't understand. I don't understand. If he had like the presence of mind to warn you, why wouldn't he just take it away?
I know. It Ever since then, I haven't had one I still get the buffalo chicken bites from 7-Eleven sometimes because I hate myself.
Well, look, that's not the point. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. What the fuck? Like, why would he take it down?
I don't know. Maybe they have to keep it on there for a certain amount of time. I don't know. I don't make the rules. I don't know what goes on at 7-Eleven. That was in like 2009. Maybe their business practices have gotten way better for some reason since then.
Oh my God.
But dude, that was the one in Fullerton. So look out, guys.
Well, yeah, as far as the hot dogs go, I'm not like judging it because I never had that experience that you had where it was like all of them are poison. Never eat them. That's never happened to me. That being said, I've never been there and been like, oh, let me get that hot dog. That being said, now that I think about it, it is one of like the only like hot ass options they have right there ready for you. You know what I mean?
I'd rather take the pizza over the hot dog any day.
I've never encountered a hot, ready-ass pizza at one of these places, so there you go.
At 7-Eleven?
Never. Maybe I'm not looking hard. I don't know.
Did you not live near did you not have a 7-Eleven as your local store?
I mean, I had a 7-Eleven, but I've never considered a 7-Eleven my local store. We were talking about a liquor store, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The 7-Eleven that's close to my house is just... it's too close for it not to be my go-to. Like, there is another liquor store up the street that's a little farther away, but the 7-Eleven is just too fucking close. So I'm very, they have chicken wings. They got all kinds of gross shit, taquitos. But that's the first thing he mentioned. And then he's got corn nuts, ranch flavored, especially brisk drinks, but not the tea, specifically dragon fruit and blueberry. Like he says that one store, he used to have a lot of different brisks. I've never had any brisk besides.
You've never had a brisk? Oh, besides what? Sorry.
Besides like the Coolio one, like besides the
lemon iced tea.
Yeah, that one I've had a million times.
Yeah.
They're saying Super Nerd's saying there was other ones, and I've never even seen that.
I think I've seen them every now and then. Yeah.
And then ices, frozen sodas, and then the 3-for-1 bags of candy.
Okay. Well, that was a lot of information that you just threw at me. That was a lot of information.
Yeah, some of them I'm on. Some of them I'm. I've never seen it. I've never seen a brisk drink that wasn't the lemon one.
Okay.
That said, I love a brisk.
Yeah, I love a brisk as well. It's been a long time since I've had one.
Really drinkable a brisk.
Yep.
I always crush them in a second, and then ices. Sure, a Slurpee. Everybody likes them. I don't really get them. I would have one, but I don't really get them. I don't know. I've never been a Slurpee guy. Kelly loves them.
I think when I think of Slurpee, I'm actually thinking of an Icy.
Are they not the same pretty much?
I don't know. They might be different.
I think a Slurpee might be like softer.
I don't know. But have never had an Icy. Or a Slurpee, rather, but I have had Icy's. Tons of them.
Yeah, Icy at the movie theater, yeah, Slurpee.
That's what I was getting at 7-Eleven. I only have them at the movie theater, though.
Yeah, but always it's going to be Coke, either way. Coke, Slurpee, Coke, Icy every time for me.
I see. Okay.
I see.
Gotcha.
And then the 3-for-1 bag of candy, this is correct. This is the real deal. Like, I don't know for sure that this is what they're talking about. But like in my mind, this is like the blue gummy sharks, the mango sour.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The green, the green rings. Ted's favorite, the disgusting orange giant peanuts.
Love them.
Oh, my God. Really, yeah, I don't want those.
He loves those big, nasty peanuts that taste like they're from a 100-year-old clown's pocket.
I do not like them.
It's true.
But yeah, that's Super Nerd's list. I mostly agree with this list. I would not get a shitty roller hot dog.
Yeah, I don't even know what my list is, so it's hard for me to compare, but I
take no offense to this list other than the hot dog.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Moving on to Johnny's list. We got watermelon Sour Patch Kids.
Do they sell them that? Like only watermelon?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the ones that are actually, like there's the Sour Patch Kids that are shaped like the children, and then there's the watermelon ones that are shaped like the watermelon.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize those were Sour Patch Kids as well. Okay.
Yeah.
I know those.
They're like, those are top tier. Berries. Those are good. Yeah. Beef jerky, number two on this list.
Yeah. I mean, once again, like, I feel like the meat-based products at these places has kind of a leg up, in my humble opinion, because they're rare. There's all kinds of candy. There's all kinds of chips. But for, like, actual meat, there's not that many things, you know?
Is that, I mean, I'm not always wanting meat when I snack, though.
Like, no, you're not, but you're not always wanting candy either. Like, that's my point. True. Like I think by the very nature of the low, like, you know, options pool, you know, I think every now and then it's, you know, you're going to want that kind of meat and you're going to go for a beef jerky because that's all there is.
Yeah. And real talk, I probably eat more meat than I do candy, like across the board. Beef jerky, though, it's got to be for a road trip. I never like am going to hang out with people and I have beef jerky because it makes me fart and smell like shit. Then we got scratchers, which
like Lotto.
I associate them with Christmas. Weirdly enough, weird.
Tons of people in my family play the lottery. I have never bought a scratcher for myself. I doubt I ever will. But that's very funny that that's on the list. Because
I was with Mike McNeil one time. We were like walking around when we used to go hang out at Zippers. Mm-hmm. And I was with Mike McNeil and he won like $200 on a scratcher.
Yeah, sometimes it happens, man.
Something crazy. Never, this never happened. I've won another ticket. Other things on this list, Dos Equis and Mexican coconut candy.
Coconut candy.
A little bit more even-handed.
I don't know about the coconut candy. I can't speak on it because I...
Yeah, like, I couldn't say what it is. I don't know.
I'm not even recognizing it, but... yeah, Dos Equis, that's the beer, right?
Yeah, and that's a good beer. That's a, you know, it's a Mexican beer. It's like a affordable beer that tastes good with like a taco or a...
Yeah,
like a burger or something, you know?
All right, I'll have to take your word for it.
Yeah. This is another one. Like this one I'm even more into. Can't speak for the Mexican coconut candy. Don't know what the vibe is. But I haven't met a Mexican candy that I didn't enjoy.
All right.
I'm a fan of the chili. I know people get mad at the chili, but I like the chili. One more. Aureus Fetch.
Hold on. I feel like we're really blowing through these things here. Like, because that person ranked them, right?
Yeah, they're in order.
So what was number one?
Watermelon Sour Patch Kids.
So you went and like, and the winner is, and then you went down?
I think it's 5-1. I believe that that's what it means, is from the beginning to end, it's least important to most important, I believe.
And so the most important one was what again?
Mexican coconut candy, which
this guy's ranking that super high, and like, I don't even know what it is.
Because I'm trying to think, like I went to Mexican ice cream truck. Anytime I went to an ice cream truck, my whole childhood was like, got all those good candies. And I can't think of a Mexican candy that's coconut.
And then after that was Dos Equis, which I also can't speak on.
I'll tell you this, Dos Equis, it's a fine beer. It's not one of the ones that tastes like water or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And once again, what was after that?
Scratchers. Can't really argue with that. That's a fun thing.
Yeah, like I know what they are. This is like, you know what it is? Who is this person? Who gave us this list?
Johnny.
Johnny's a very different person than me, and that's okay. You know what I mean?
Johnny's given me like coming home from work vibes with this list.
Mm-mm.
Like, okay. Johnny's given me like end of the day vibes with this list. Scratchers and Dos Equis feels like I'm about to like get in my my pajamas. I don't know.
All right.
But yeah, that's Johnny's list. Last list we got is all liquor. It's from Aureus Fetch.
What the fuck? I think that, Jesus Christ.
I think they took this to mean like, when I said liquor store, I think they took it to mean what liquor, like what alcohol do you buy?
Like when they read liquor store from you, did they think like BevMo?
Yeah, like, well, like liquor store, you know, like that's the main thing they said. Like most people probably buy liquor there.
Fuck, for real?
All those bottles behind the counter.
But here's what I'm saying. Even if you're some kind of lush, right?
Where do people get it?
I know that's fine. I get it. You buy liquor at a liquor store. I know tons of people that do it. I get it. But like, even if that's what you do and that's your main thing, or even if you're a fucking alcoholic, even if you're a raging alcoholic, one of your top five has got to be like, oh man, Hot Cheetos. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%.
So if all five are alcohol, so like, I feel like something got lost in translation.
Yeah, I that's what I have to assume. And also, I'm not sure the order of this because the wording is very funny. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm just going to read it once for the effect, and then we'll go back into it. Blue Moon, Bacardi rum, pumpkin flavored anything, Captain Morgan black rum, and a small vodka for my wife.
Just a small vodka, please. Vodka. Okay, great. Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing, man. When I hear liquor store, I hear like all the places I think of when I think of liquor store would be called bodegas if we lived on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We don't have bodegas here, like, even though we have the exact same thing as bodegas.
Yeah, we just call them liquor stores. Yeah.
Yeah. And usually they're like maybe a little bigger. I don't know. Or they have a parking lot. Maybe is the big difference. Blue Moon, can't argue with Blue Moon. That's like saying that you like Super Mario. You can't argue with it.
I don't get Blue Moon.
It's good. It doesn't make anybody upset. It tastes vaguely of oranges. What do you mean?
It's so gross to me.
Okay, well, Ted, I'm going to have to break this to you. I think there may be some people out there who find what you like to be weird sometimes.
No, it's true. Yeah. I just don't know why it's so widely popular.
I'm telling you, I think it's because it's a crowd pleaser. I think it hits a lot. Like, it's a little bit hipster. You know what I mean? Like, maybe not so much now because it's kind of old news, but like, it rolls out. It's not trash. It's a little bit more complex than like your regular lager, you know? Tastes like oranges. You can drink it with a steak and you don't feel like I don't know. People like to put the orange on the glass. Bacardi rum, that's like, could be classy, but could be like the bottom of the barrel trashy. Bacardi to me evokes like drug lord vibes, you know, Vice City situation. Pumpkin, that's a sin. Pumpkin flavored anything, that's a sin. There's no way around that. There's no positive.
What are these hot takes?
I have to just give them
anything.
I know Brett's not going to have a lot to weigh in on about alcohol, so I'm just trying to give it the full.
Dude, pumpkin alcohol, so good.
Dude, anything.
Pumpkin beer, so good.
It's all a sin. It's all a sin.
Why is it a sin?
Unless there's real pumpkin involved, all you're going to get is heartburn and diarrhea from it. Captain Morgan, another one that's just trashy. Like, yeah, I'm not saying there's not good drinks that you can have with Captain Morgan, but it evokes a time in my life when like parties would end with people with their pants off and like yelling on the ground to kind of parties. And a small vodka from my wife just makes me think you love your wife. You know, that's what I feel about that.
That's like the little bit on top when you're like, I can justify this whole purchase.
Yeah, that's humanity.
I got it for you, baby.
That's the Diet Coke with the Big Mac meal right there.
I got it for you, baby.
Got your little vodka.
I got you something so I can have all this for me.
It tastes like potatoes or something. I don't know.
It's birthday cake.
I like this one because it's so, like, I would never go in and buy, like, all these things. Unless I was 18 years old and when I got home, I put them all on a table and, like, filmed it and posted it on MySpace. That's the only time I would ever do that. But, yeah, that's not our top five. That's another segment. Thank you guys for sending in those responses. I appreciate it, giving us something to talk about. Before we leave, I want to get into the community segment. This is going to be an ongoing segment. That we do in the show. This is like an ongoing Q&A where there's like a question of the week. Obviously, this is the first week, so we don't have any replies to read yet. But we will read them next episode. The first question that we're going to ask is, what is a secret you've never told anyone before? Mm. So that's the first question out. We'll answer it now, and then next week we'll read your guys' answers and answer the next question.
This is fucked up. I didn't realize that we'd immediately have to start breaking each other down.
I know what kind of stuff we both enjoy.
All right.
And I think one of the things that we can both trust each other to do is put each other on the spot uncomfortably at inopportune times.
That's hard. Like that's way harder than like confess a secret. Cause there's tons of stuff that like you don't know about me or they don't know about me. But then to have to think of like something that no one knows, period. I know. That's hard. Very hard.
I agree. I have one on my mind because I thought maybe you'd need some time to think about it since you didn't know it was coming. But I have one on deck.
I mean, you can go ahead. I'm not going to be thinking of mine because I'm going to be listening to you. But you can go right ahead.
So basically, I almost burned down my house when I was like 20 years old or 20, 21 or something like that. It was like very close to when I like was going to move out of my house for good. And then my mom moved away from that house. So like, I don't even have a room to go back to anymore. But before my childhood home was like done, I lived there and I almost burned it down one night. I got back from like something like inconsequential. Like it was like a, just like a hangout, like a D&D night or something like that. Just like a very like mild night where I had been drinking a regular amount of beer and I couldn't drive a car or I didn't have a car or something. So I just ended up back at home early because I had to leave early. And so I was just home sitting on my bed and I had my lamp on and I was reading a comic book. I'm trying to remember what comic book it was.
Human Torch.
For some reason, I want to say it was Just the Society of America by Jeff Johns.
It was too hot to handle.
But basically, I was like absentmindedly biting my fingernails. I was like chewing them off. And then, you know, when you have it in your hand, you don't know what to do with it. And so I was putting it on the top of my lamp for some reason. I wasn't thinking about it. I was just placing them on the top of my lamp.
What kind of lamp?
As I was biting my nails. Huh?
What kind of lamp?
Like a desk lamp. Like my desk was right next to my bed, and so I could just turn the neck of the lamp and lean it over
like,
my bed.
So, like, what I'm saying, like, were you putting the... I don't think this is the case, but were you putting your fingernails on the bulb or, like, on the base of the lamp? What were you doing?
No, on the opposite side. It was like a metal, like, Pixar-looking desk lamp.
Okay.
Like on the hood of it is where I was putting them. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, when I'm done reading this comic, I'm going to bag it and board it and I'll just grab them and throw them in the trash. But I didn't do that. And I started reading the comic and I guess it got way hotter than I realized because like all of a sudden, like one of the nails like started burning.
Get out of here.
And it smelled like burnt hair. And I like didn't realize it at first what it was because I thought it was like my mom cooking or something downstairs at first.
That makes sense. I think hair and nails are made of the same stuff, like chitin.
Yeah, it just smells like it smelled like burning at first. And I just thought it was like something happening downstairs. And then I realized it was like right next to my face, smoke and fire. And I like freaked out. And when I did, the nails like fell off the lamp and like slid onto the bed sheets and left like a big black mark on my, the only reason it wasn't more noticeable is because my bed sheets are like dark brown or they were dark brown at the time. And I like patted it out and like everything, but I almost like completely burnt my bed.
Are you saying these fingernails were straight up aflame?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like I'd put kindling on a cast iron skillet or something like that.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And they burst into flames and I almost burned my house down. I never told anyone about it.
Man, you got to get some fucking moisturizer on the man if this shit is dry enough to go up in flames, man.
Dude, I have been, dude, you know how fucking dry it has been this week? I'm glad I'm not trying to burn my fucking chitin or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, you better be careful, man. You put on some fucking mittens and you'll sit there and just combust.
It sucked. It smells really bad when you burn hair.
So wait a minute. Are you telling me you've never told anyone that?
I've never mentioned it to another living soul.
No one. You've never told anyone that in your life.
Never.
What? All right.
Just never mentioned it.
Shit. I wish I could tell my almost burned down the house story, but I've told plenty of deep people that. I still got the scar from it and everything. So now I got to think of something else that I've never told anyone.
Never told a soul.
Oh my God. Never told a soul.
It could just be an interesting crush. It could be anything.
An interesting crush. Oh man. I don't know. What if I don't have a soul?
What?
I'm just kidding. I definitely have one. Don't worry. Something that I've never told anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I think I remember this as a kid. All right, here's one. I think okay, I remember great. A time as a kid when I was very, very young, and I used to sit in front of the TV in the living room and watch my shows and shit. And I think at one point I had to use the bathroom pretty bad, but I didn't want to miss the show. So I think I remember standing up and just pissing on the floor as a kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is the kid logic right there.
Yeah. Like not even like, let me like lay here and, you know, stew in my own juices and just pee on the floor. Like I remember like standing up, cause that's how you take a pee as a big boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just took a pee, like just an arc from me to the television. You know what I mean?
A shameless piss.
Yeah. Like just, well, I can't miss this. You know what I mean?
I think I saw a mutual friend of ours who I will call Tyler P do this at a party one time.
Got it.
Inside of our friend Mike McNeil's apartment on his inside curtains.
Was he also like a 3-year-old?
He was reduced to the faculties of a 3-year-old at the time. Yeah. But you out there listening to this can think on it. What is a secret you've never told anyone before? If you are a patron, you can answer this question. Head to patreon.com/superbeardbros where you can answer this question and you can maybe hear it live on the show next week. That is us this week. Thank you guys for listening. This is the first episode. Bear with us as we figure out the shape and form that this show will take. I think it went pretty well. How about you?
Well, I mean, I really want something from the bodega now. But other than that, not bad.
I just had some spicy Cheeto Puffs.
Mmm.
Just before we started recording this.
We'll see. Now I got to go get them. Fix a lot.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you guys for listening. I'm Alex.
Oh, I'm Brett. I'm sorry. I was...
and I'm Ted. No,
that's all good. That's us.
It's the first episode. Ted. Get off my back.
Yeah. This has been the Beard, the Super Beard Show. Peach. See you guys later. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
In the Super Beard Show! In the Super Beard Show! In the Super Beard Show! My name is Ted Coonrod.